What up, ATL? John Michaels, DJ Shockley. We're missing somebody. Where the heck is Jay Adams at?
Jay Adams, who knows? Maybe he's late for this Falcon cast. I don't know.
He may be late.
Kicked him out or something. I don't know.
I've been wanting to do this since I was a kid. Shock. I was a big wrestling fan growing up, and I wanted to be a member of the Four Horsemen.
I thought this was because it's the fourth quarter, no?
Well, no. You know, that there's a school that originated that, and everybody's copied.
Who's that?
You know who originated.
You cannot say Miami did that.
They
Miami
did.
Miami cannot start
Go back
everything.
And watch. John Dockery was the sideline reporter
Miami
for CBS.
Miami can't start everything.
We did everything. There's a lot of copycats. Now we just lose, but that's neither here nor there. Falcons are not losing, and we're not going to talk about the U. We're not going to talk about what happened to Georgia. We're going to leave all of that stuff alone. We're going to talk about the 4-0 Atlanta Falcons. You want to talk about a butt-kicking on Sunday afternoon? That's what you're supposed to do to an inferior team on your home field, what the Atlanta Falcons did. 48 points. It was never in doubt. 42-0 at one point before a lot of the second-teamers got a chance to play, and they blow out the Houston Texans.
You look at that game, and you wonder how the Houston Texans are a team in the National Football League with guys making millions of dollars the way they were embarrassed. Mm-hmm. It was a game that was totally dominated by the Falcons in all three phases of the game. They took the ball away. They did a great job of taking the ball away, moving up and down the field, making plays. And I think the biggest thing was Julio wasn't really involved.
Right.
He had a couple catches throughout the game. Offensively, he wasn't involved. Devontae Freeman goes out to have another spectacular game, 3 touchdowns, mm-hmm. 6 in 2 games. This offense is clicking. Defense is, you know, playing lights out like it's been doing all season. And special teams is, you know, they're doing what they do. But it was awesome to see the Falcons go out and put a team away and start really, really fast. And before you knew it, it was 42-0.
Right.
I mean, it was exciting to watch. I'm sure Houston really felt bad about themselves.
Is that's game film that you get back to Houston, you just burn it. You go, never mind, we've got a Thursday nighter against Indianapolis. We don't want to watch this at all.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, stepping on the throat, and I thought that was the biggest thing I took from this football game. There were a couple of moments, not where the game was getting sideways, but it was kind of getting stagnant more than anything. At 14-0, the Falcons had a couple of 3-and-outs, and all of a sudden the defense comes up with a big play, a scoop and score for Desmond Trufant, and it goes 21-0. At the end of the first half at 28-0, Houston's driving, trying to make it a game. They end up missing a long field goal, and they get the ball to start the second half. What happens then? It's 3-and-out, and all of a sudden it's 35-0 because the offense 4 plays later shoves it in the end zone. That's what really good teams are supposed to do in this league.
And you look at what – I think when I watched the game, I never felt – like Houston was a threat offensively.
Right.
I always felt Ryan Mallett felt like he was very uncomfortable in the pocket. We didn't sack him a lot. We didn't put a lot of pressure on him, but we was pushing the pocket. Everything was contested on the outside. When I'm talking about the defensive backs, every catch was contested. Every throw was contested. Everything was tight. And even the interception to Babineau, he was just trying to find somewhere to check it down. Mm-hmm. And even the back was completely covered. I think Warlow, somebody tipped it up, and there's Babs for the interception. And that just shows another guy batting the ball away. Here comes defensive lineman 2-3 yards down the field, you know, trying to go after a play. This is a defense, like you just mentioned, with the scoop and score, are being a team that's really enjoying playing defense. And when you see them, that's what they look like.
Yeah, I talked to Scott Case yesterday on our local flagship station here and asked him about it being more simple, the defense being simplified, and what does that mean for a defensive player. He said there's a lot to the fact that, hey, when you know your assignment and you're just able to go out and, you know, really react to the play that's in front of you, not think and not try to get cute with everything, that's what you're seeing with Atlanta right now. It's a simplified scheme, and I don't know X's and O's the way these coaches do, but it looks easier. Guys are getting after the passer. We have guys that are on the back end covering their zones or covering a receiver man-to-man, and players are just making plays right now.
Yeah, and when you can play fast, John, I can
and
tell
physical.
You from a fast.
Don't forget physical.
Yes, for a defense or an offense who can play fast and is not an extra lot of thinking, it helps you so much more to just, like you said, react and go. When you see something, you know where you're supposed to be, you don't second guess it, you go right after it right now. It is what makes the defense what people call simplistic, but makes it so much better because guys know exactly where they're supposed to be. And I think to an even bigger point, they know where their other players supposed to be. They know what everybody else around them supposed to be. And I think hearing a couple guys on defense, they say, yeah, we've been trained to know what everybody else does.
Right.
So that you know I'm going to get my job done. That guy has to do his job, and he's going to be in a certain spot. So I can play it a certain way because I know my teammate next to me is going to do his job.
And that's the best thing that you're seeing right now. Everybody is doing their job, and the team was able to score 48 points. You mentioned without much from Julio Jones. Leonard Hankerson steps up huge. He has a 100-yard game. And then Devontae Freeman, if you've got him on your fantasy team, lucky for you, seven touchdowns on the season already. Back-to-back weeks with three touchdowns. First time since LaDainian Tomlinson. There's a name you want to be grouped in if you're a running back. Since 2006 that a running back scored back-to-back weeks with three touchdowns. Yeah. That'll let you know how Devontae's playing.
And coming into this season, you were unsure about that position. Mm-hmm. Totally. You said you had a second-year guy. You had a rookie coming in here. You were very unsure. Tevin Coleman goes down, and you're panicking. You're like, what am I going to do? Should we go sign somebody else? Right. I think there was Monty Ball out there. There were a couple other guys, Ray Rice.
Yeah. Who'd be like, heard all those names.
Should we go sign these guys? And Dan Quinn said no. And when we talked about it on this show, are we just going to stay with the two guys we got, Teron Ward and Devontae Freeman? And guess what? Coach Quinn knew exactly what he had in both of those guys, and we saw that last week. Teron Ward coming in, running hard. You're not losing a step when he comes in the game. Devontae, like you just mentioned, seven touchdowns. He is playing ultimately like a guy whose hair is literally on fire. Yeah. He's playing like he's trying to win a roster spot right now in the middle of the season. And that's what you like from your number one back. He's running hard. He's running physical. And what I like about him is he puts one foot in the ground, he gets north and south, and he goes now. And that helps the offensive linemen so much because they don't have to stay on their blocks for that two, three, or a half a second longer where they know all you got to do is get a hand on this guy, push him out the hole, Devontae's going to hit it.
Right.
And you see a lot of backs who are shaking, baking, who, you know, they're hesitating. No hesitation out of Devontae.
Not just that, he's running through that first arm tackle because there's guys at the line of scrimmage that are reaching, and Devontae's running through them like they're not even there.
Right.
You just pushed around a defensive line that has Vince Wilfork, who may be a Hall of Famer, J.J. Watt, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, and Jadeveon Clowney, who everybody clamored for as the first overall pick 2 years ago. You move those guys around like they weren't there. And credit, dude, J.J. Watt's the best football player on the planet. You held him to basically, I don't want to say he was ineffective because he had a couple of batted passes, but he didn't change the outcome of the game. He didn't impact the game where you had to change your offensive system. Right. Ryan Schrader did a darn good job going against the best guy on the planet.
J.J. Watt's kind of like Julio. He's going to make his plays. Sure. It's hard to stop everything he does. Like I say, he had some batted passes, but don't allow him to beat you. Mm-hmm. And you didn't allow that. He had a couple of bad balls, yes, but he's going to do that. That's what his game is about. But you do not allow him to totally just disrupt everything you're doing offensively.
Right, and that was the best thing that you could see out of that football game. The question becomes now, Tevin Coleman looks like he's back at practice, dealing with the rib injury. You don't have to rush him back, but when he's 100% healthy, Shock, what do you do with that backfield? Because Devontae Freeman has earned the carries that he's getting right now. I mean, when you go out and put up the numbers he has, you've earned them. But Tevin Coleman, and typically in the world of sports, you don't lose your job via injury.
Yeah.
What do you do with Tevin?
You know what? I think before Tevin got hurt, he was playing at a high level. Mm-hmm. He was running hard. He was running just as hard as Devontae is now. But the way Devontae runs, he has to be your guy. I don't think you say you lose your job, but
– maybe you lose some carries?
You lose some carries. If you start up 8 to 10 carries when he first comes back, and then you gradually move him up, and I think it's one of those things where coaches have – we go off feel, which guy's hotter. And you start the game like that, obviously you rotate him in, and the way the game goes now, you need two backs.
Right.
There are not a lot of Adrian Peterson running around where he's a featured back every single time. And we have a couple good backs who I think they need touches.
Right.
And it seems like, though, the more Devontae gets, the tougher he gets. Mm-hmm. And over the last two games, we've seen – he can carry a 20-carry load.
Sure.
And that's one of the things that you worried about getting late into the season, but that's a good problem to have, having two backs who can get the job done. And when he comes back, I think he's going to get the carries, but he won't get as much as Devontae because he's shown that he took care of that opportunity.
Yeah, and the one thing I looked at with Teron Ward late in that game last week, I trust giving him 5 to 10 carries if need be because he ran with an attitude and he ran with some anger last week as well.
Yeah, and it was a couple points in the game where you could see, you talked about that defensive front of, you know, Watt and, you know, Wilford and all that, but you also had Cushing as a linebacker who we know
he plays angry.
Tries to intimidate guys. Yeah, he tries to play angry, and you got this rookie running back, and he didn't shy away from it.
No.
This is a guy he probably watched on TV plenty of times before he got here. Now he's playing against him, and he's trying to intimidate him. He said, no, no, I'm ready for this.
How about Devontae last week? I don't know if you noticed this up from the press box. There was a play, and I don't know what happened with him and Vince Wilfork. Maybe it's Miami FSU week, and they were exchanging pleasantries. But he had Vince Wilfork. So Vince Wilfork followed him back to the huddle, running his mouth. And Devontae didn't back down. He was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't catch me.
I like it. I love it.
I love it. I love the swagger.
I love it because he doesn't back down either. I wouldn't say he's a smaller back, but he's an edgy guy.
Although, and, you know, if Vince Wilfork runs up on me, I'm backing down. That dude's a planet.
I never saw Wilfork's jersey in the front. No, I never saw his number. I mean, it was that's a big individual.
Yeah, right that's a large human being. But guess what? Mike Person, great job. Handle Chris it. Chester, great job. Andy Levitre, great job. Those guys moved Vince Wilfork out of the way. Vince Wilfork and Brian Cushing were not factors in the game. That'll lead us to what we're talking about on the offensive line. Pro Football Focus, they do a great job grading and kind of giving you insight as to who's doing a good job on snaps. Falcons have the number one. Again, this is the second week in a row we talked. They have the number one offensive line in the NFL. That is a testament to the coaching staff. That's a testament to the front office. And it's a testament to veteran players coming in and understanding this is my role and I've got to excel in it.
And it's so crazy that this unit has gelled so quickly. Mm-hmm. And when Levitre came in, everybody was like, yeah, he's a good player, he's a solid player, but how is he going to gel the other guys around him? Persons who you talked about, it was all about Joe Holly.
Yeah, he had never started at center.
It was all about Joe Holly. Everybody thought, well, it's got to be James Stone, right? Mm-hmm. But now this group is playing above and beyond what everybody thought. And the biggest thing I can allude to is – they got balance, man.
Right.
They got balance throwing the football. They got balance running the football. And that takes a little pressure. At the end of the day, though, those guys are playing good football because everything is not a double. Everything is not, you know, you're comboing up. There's some man situations during the game, man-on-man, mano-a-mano, and they step up to the plate and they say, all right, you're not going to beat me. And that's what I like about this unit is they're tough, they're gritty. You see them running down after guys, trying to get blocks down the field, helping guys up. This is a unit that I'm starting to enjoy to watch. As a quarterback, you always like the offensive line. Those guys take care of you.
Of course they do. Now, how much did you buy for your offensive line afterwards?
Oh, man.
Now, I know at Georgia you can't say that because that's impermissible benefit, so we don't want to get you in trouble. But when you were here, the offensive line, you know, did you take care of those guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those were guys that were in my pockets a few times because they kept me upright.
That's not a meal that you want to pay for, by the way. The black card all of a sudden gets run up really high.
Yeah. It was interesting to have some of the big guys like Claybo and big Harvey Dahl and all those guys.
That's a lot of meat being eaten.
It's a lot of good eating right now.
Now, you guys notice, I said black card and he didn't correct me. He just rolled right with it because Shock has the black card.
I don't even know what that is, so I'm really confused.
I have a card that on the back, the black stripe doesn't really work. They swipe it and they go, sir, there's something wrong with this.
If I have a black card, I must have stole it because somebody, I got to give it back to somebody because it's definitely not mine.
Colored it with a Sharpie?
Absolutely,
is that what
it's not mine. Arthur. Pay me some more. I will definitely have a black card.
Yeah, I need one of those. Actually, no, I don't, because then I'd be in debt and I'd be living.
We can share one. How about that?
We'd be in the Dominican
share
somewhere.
Share one with Bosek, with Austin, with Trevor. We can share it, man.
Yeah, we could do all of that. Now, share happened last week, and I know a lot of guys.
I know Jay has one. Yeah,
this was all over the internet. At Atlanta Falcons on Twitter posted this. Did you see what Devontae Freeman did after? It's either a second or third touchdown. He got ready to spike the ball, and he goes, "No, no, no."
He does the LT look.
No, he goes, Mike Person's played really well, and he hands Mike Person the ball, and Mike Person, in his best Rob Gronkowski impersonation, spikes the ball. But that's giving back to the guys that are making you look like a star.
Those are the small things that people don't see or understand how much it means to an offensive lineman.
Right.
Because they don't get all the credit.
Right.
Everybody doesn't want to come interview them after the game. That's the kind of stuff that means more than, you know, people want to interview him. Mm-hmm. That's a guy understanding that you need me just as much as I need you.
Right.
And for him to do that in the midst of a game, in the midst of you just had a huge touchdown run and you want to celebrate yourself, everybody's watching you, and you say, no, 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 this is not about me.
Right.
This is about the guys that make me better. And that's where this team is right now. That's where this team has evolved in just 1 year, and what Coach Quinn has got these guys dialed in that it's not about the individual, it's about the collective unit. And you can see that it kind of permeates throughout the entire team just the way that the way they play. Offense, right. defense, special teams, they play like I'm playing for the guy next to me.
Right.
You know, I'm not playing to get stats for me. I'm playing for the guy next to me because guess what? That's what ultimately what matters. And that's what's going to win games.
I'll bring this up, and I know it's not what we kind of discussed pre. Just with what you're saying, guys playing for the team. There's been a lot made about Roddy White this week, about is he unhappy with his role and all this other nonsense? Is he being unselfish? Roddy White wants to win.
No doubt.
You've been around Roddy longer than I have.
No doubt.
Roddy is all about victories, and that's all that matters. So for fans out there that are saying, oh, Roddy's trying to be off this team, that is nonsense.
No.
Roddy doesn't want to go anywhere. Roddy's not trying to be traded. He's a typical receiver. Does he want the ball more?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
But I want a wide receiver that wants the ball. I don't want a guy that just goes, hey, don't throw me the ball.
Yeah, give me 2-3 catches a game. I'm good with that. No. Knowing Roddy on a personal level, this is a guy who is the most competitive guy in Flowery Branch, Georgia. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy competes like no other guy. And when he's a little frustrated, he wants the football. I was like, you just mentioned, what receiver does not want the football? Right. What receiver comes into a game and only wants to just block?
Right.
Even guys who know their role, who may be the third or fourth receiver on the depth chart.
Well, I was going to say, the only one that may want to do that is Weems, because Weems wants to come in and hurt somebody.
Hey, trust me, I know Weems. Weems wants to rock too. Look at him. Every time he gets that punt or kickoff, he's trying to take it out. Guys want the football. And it's not to be selfish. It's because I want to make an impact too.
Mm-hmm.
He's making an impact blocking, yes, but he wants to make an impact to help the team even more. And he understands that he knows if I get the ball in my hand, I can do some special things with it. And I think that's all he's saying. Obviously, he's frustrated, but like you mentioned, John, I want a receiver who wants the rock.
Yes.
I want a guy who wants to, you know, he wants 5 or 6 catches. But here's another thing. Roddy's used to catching 80 to 100 right. passes every year.
Right.
And you tell a guy, okay, no, you're going to catch 30? That's not that doesn't go well. I mean, that's like you say, hey, I got a 10-gallon of water I've been drinking every single day. Now I'm only going to give you 1 gallon. You're going to be like, what?
Yeah, I need my 10.
I need my 10. And that's kind of how it goes. Roddy is a complete competitor.
Right.
He's the least selfish guy on this team. I can tell you that now. Just knowing him personally, he's the least selfish guy. He wants everybody to win. He wants to be a huge contributor to it as well.
Yeah, guys also start to realize, not just Roddy, anybody on the team that's a veteran, Babineau and some of the other players that are taking not necessarily reduced roles, but not the same role they've had in the past. You're on a 4-0 football team.
Right.
Those don't come around that often in the NFL. You've got a really good chance to continue to win games. And if you win games, then you get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And guess what happens in the playoffs? All your regular season stats are out the window.
Don't matter.
It's now a one-game scenario. Speaking of some of the stats, getting up 42-0 afforded Atlanta the opportunity to play players that may not have necessarily played in game action. How nice is it to see an 8 Stupar who's playing really well in his time, Alan Bradford getting in the game, some of the backup offensive linemen, Sean Renfrey getting his first snaps ever in a regular season game, Teron Ward. How much does that mean when you start to move forward in a season when you have guys that actually get that game action against Houston's ones?
The better teams in the National Football League have depth.
Mm-hmm.
And every team has superstars.
Right.
Every team has a couple guys on their team who you're making the $15, $20 million. But there's other guys who are the role players, and they're the depth players that make your team better. Throughout a season, you're going to have series, you're going to have games, you're going to have plays where guys are going to come out. Those superstars are going to have to come out.
Yeah, guys get hurt. That happens in this league.
It does. And you're going to need those guys to step in. And the coaches have to have that comfort level. They have to have that familiarity that when I put this guy in, it's not going to be a fall off.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Devontae Freeman come out, Teron Ward go in the game. There wasn't a fall off in the run game.
No.
They completely did it. Everything they wanted to do, throwing, running, everything else. And you want guys like Nate Supar, Joplo Bartu, Alan Bradford to be able to step in on your defense and play to a level just as good as your starters.
Right.
And I think as the season goes on, that's only going to help this team because, there's, like I said, it's going to be plays in a game. It may come down to a critical situation in the playoffs and a guy goes down for a play and you need him in there on a key third down and you're not worried about him because he's played in games back then. He's participated. He's done some things that are really good for the team and you don't worry about him. So I really believe the depth of this team is really what makes them really good because they know the guys that are behind the starters, can legitimately do it.
Yeah, and you saw that Joplo Bartu walked in. Justin Durant gets hurt during the game. They fit him with an elbow sleeve. You know, obviously in a 35-0 game, you don't have to have him rush back into the football game. But Joplo comes in. And this is a guy that was a starter in the league.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he comes in off the bench and there was no drop-off.
Right.
And that's great to see with this football team. And again, there is going to be a time that you might need a backup offensive lineman or you may need a backup defensive lineman. Redskins coming to town this week. Mm. One of the, I guess you could call them the legacy teams in the NFL. Their fan base is loud and proud, and they'll be there with their stupid pig noses on and all that stuff. And they'll be in the Georgia Dome. I'm here to tell you, where's the camera? Right there? Hey, Falcon fans, don't sell your tickets to a Redskins fan. I'm just telling you, don't allow them to do it. But the Redskins are better than anybody thought they would be. 2-2 coming off an emotional victory over the Philadelphia Eagles.
Very true.
Shocked. They are really good defensively. Top 10 in both rushing and passing. What challenge do they pose this week for Atlanta?
You know, I think the biggest thing is the way they can't get after the passer. I think they're, you know, tops in league and getting pressure, getting sacks on the quarterback. And this is a pretty good unit. Especially in the front seven. We've seen some teams that have a good front seven. Mm-hmm. This team is no different. They get after quarterback. Kerrigan is a guy that comes right off the top of your head that has an engine, that has a motor, who likes to get after you, has that work ethic about him. And I think it's going to be another good test for the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with the running game. It starts with being good on third down. The Falcons right now are second in the league on third down.
That'll win you football games.
Regardless of how good a defense is, those type of things are what permeates throughout the entire offense and makes you better. But I think Washington is in a good position where they feel good about themselves. Like you just mentioned, they're coming off a huge win versus one of their division rivals in a place where, you know, they had to come back from the end and win the ball game. Mm-hmm. That's telling them they could finish a game. It shows they have some fight in them. And they're playing with Kirk Cousins, who came into the season, didn't know he was going to be the starter.
Right.
And now he's got this team 2-2, feeling good, have a big win versus a division rival, and they come into a place where they're playing against a 4-0 team who's really good, mm-hmm. and a chance to prove that they can play with the elite teams in the National Football League. So this is a dangerous team that's feeling good about themselves.
Right.
And they're coming in on a high note. So you can't really say, all right, this is the old Washington Redskins of the past who just give the game away. This is a unit that's looking to prove themselves.
Right. And I look at them. They're strong running the football. Alfred Morris, Matt Jones, the rookie out of Florida, doing a really good job running the ball.
Matt Jones is doing really well.
May get DeSean Jackson back. He's trying to work back from a week one hamstring injury. Pierre Garçon, people forget about him. He was a guy that was like a 1,400-yard receiver a few years ago. He's still on the football team. The thing with Cousins, you've got to get after him. Don't allow him to get comfortable because he's got the arm.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is when he gets rattled, he has a tendency to turn the football over. Atlanta must make Washington one-dimensional. And I guess playing into the strength of the Falcons' defense, right now they're giving up about 82 yards a game on the ground, fifth in the National Football League. If they can slow down or stymie the Redskins' run game, I think this game sets up perfectly for the Falcons' defense to come up with a couple of takeaways like they did last week.
And you mentioned Kirk Cousins and his ability, and just watching him over the years, you're exactly spot on. When there's trouble, when there's issues where he has to get out the pocket and force a throw, that's when he really is, an average quarterback. But when you give him time to sit back in the pocket and survey things, this is probably good as any other quarterback in the league. But if you give him a chance to really get hot, mm-hmm. he can be accurate.
Right.
He can pick you apart. And he can gain some confidence. He's coming into this game with confidence.
He made a heck of a throw there at the end of that game.
In the tight coverage right there in the goal line. That's a throw that a quarterback without confidence doesn't make. Mm-hmm. A guy with confidence can fit that in that little tight window on the goal line with everything on the line. That's what you want out of your premier quarterback, and he's playing that way, especially in that last ball game.
Yeah, he's doing a great job, and they're a surprising 2-2 football team. You look at Seattle and say they're 2-2, it's probably a disappointment.
Yeah.
Washington right now tied for first in the NFC East.
Yeah.
You would have bet money back in September or late August and said, hey, the Redskins after 4 weeks will be tied for first. You probably made some good cash.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the teams we played already. Obviously, you played Philadelphia off the rip, but you didn't know if they were going to be good or bad. You didn't know what type of team they were, and you handled them on Monday night. And you got Dallas, obviously, who is, everybody picked to be one of the top teams in the NFC. So, handle New York. I mean, this division is a division that's – people thought would be one of the toughest divisions in all of National Football League. So for them to be 2-2 in the position they are in, I think they're pretty excited about it.
Can I tell the people in Dallas, darn you?
We own.
Yeah, but you allowed the Saints to get off the schneid. Yeah, do we get a steak on this program or something? We swept Dallas. Can we get some good Mexican food on this program?
I know. Allow New Orleans to get that win.
Hey, let them get a win. Come on. C.J. Spiller got off the milk carton. Nobody knew he was still there, and all of a sudden he scores. It's crazy.
Drew Brees was 80%. He allowed that. Come on.
Yeah, we gotta push them down. We'll talk about them next week. Next week becomes very fun.
Ooh, the Aints.
Bosek, this is your first time going on the road to New Orleans, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to warn you, much like I did in New York.
Stay away from Bourbon Street.
Well, no. He was standing up against the wall in New York, and I told him, I said, dude, you got on Falcons colors. Giants fans have been known to go, oops, as a beer will fall on you.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, stay away from the wall.
Yeah.
New Orleans fans see you in Atlanta stuff, and it's not going to be friendly.
Maybe I'll put some Saints stuff on and blend in.
No,
don't
do that, because then you won't get back on the flight. Yeah. We'll stick you in luggage underneath. All right, I got to ask you this, Shock. Crowd was a little bit late arriving on Sunday, and I get it. It was monsooning all weekend. The Georgia-Alabama hangover effect. Fans got to get there this week.
So you're just going to bring that up twice? You're just going to bring that up twice.
I just glossed over it. That's all I did. I just glossed over it.
Austin back there smiling. Come on.
Hey, at least you didn't lose any bets where you had to have an Alabama avatar.
Yeah, if you guys go watch, look at John Michael's avatar right now. He's not good. Nice Cincinnati Bearcat.
Two more days of this.
Two more days.
Two more days. I can't wait till Saturday morning to get that stupid thing off of there. But fans, you got to get there. Get there loud. Be loud and proud. Your team's 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'd say as a player to have the fans there early, to have them there on kickoff, it means a lot to the players.
Right.
Get there, be loud. It's a 4-0 team, you know. It's been a lot of – the past couple years haven't been going the way you wanted, and you haven't had much to cheer about. You're 4-0 now. You got a lot to cheer about. You got a lot to be excited about. Get in the dome. Get around a lot more Falcon fans. Enjoy the moment because these don't happen all the time. Be like you mentioned when we first came on. Being 4-0 – that doesn't happen just by luck. It doesn't happen all the time. And this is a tough league to do it. And to be able to be 4-0 right now and have a team that you can root for and be excited about.
Right.
Get there early.
Yeah, they're a fun team. They're a great group of guys. I mean, they're believing. You should believe as well. I think the biggest thing that aggravates me, and it's not with our fan base per se, it's just fans in general. You're 4-0 today, yet people will still bring up what happened 2 years ago. 2 years ago doesn't matter.
At all.
That's long gone. Like 60% of that team's not even here anymore. Yeah. It's a whole new group.
You worry about last couple years. I mean, in this league, you barely worry about what happened last week.
Right.
Because you got to go week to week on this, you know, on the National Football League. So move on.
All right.
Let's go.
Are they going to be 5-0 after this weekend?
Easily 5-0.
Easy. I believe.
Nah, I don't know easily, but I think they get to 5-0. I think it'd be a better game than people think, especially if Kirk Cousins comes out and plays the way he's been playing the last couple weeks. But I still believe the Falcons have more firepower and the defense wins the game for them again.
Now, I may jinx them with what I'm going to say. The Falcons are 4-0 against the spread. Not that I would bet or condone anybody going out there and betting on it. They're 4-0 against the spread so far this year.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Awesome.
They've been a pretty safe pick.
Hey, get there early enough, you may be able to see Bosek running around doing mic check.
Yeah, he can do a mic check, and he's got a camera that outweighs him.
If you guys haven't, if you guys don't follow Bosek, you need to follow.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter because guess what,
man.
Bosek, what's your Twitter so everybody knows? Because you do the contest.
Yeah, it's Brian Bosek, BrianBosek.
Okay, nice follow him on Twitter. You get good love there because he gives away stuff.
Yeah, I gave away Hankerson signed breast cancer awareness gloves last week.
What?
Nice.
You couldn't hook your boy up.
Nah.
Yeah, that could go on the wall somewhere. All right. Before we get to the break with Bosek, I got to get on Austin and Bosek here for a second.
Get them. Get them, Jay.
They pranked the heck out of me.
I got to hear this
prank. On the last road trip when we got ready to go to Dallas. Well, for whatever reason, and I think I got my keys in my pocket today.
He's worried now.
I got typical man key.
Is that a Benz? What's that?
No,
oh, stop. Nice.
No, it's Chevy. I'm a Chevy man. Got my Camaro. But a typical man key, I have one key on here. I don't need anything else. I have a garage door opener. For whatever reason, a couple of Wednesdays ago, I had both sets of my car keys in my pocket.
Okay.
Well, one of them dropped up here at Flowery Branch. So I get a text from Bosek like 2 hours later.
Why are you carrying both sets, though?
I don't know. Subconsciously, I just grabbed them. I had no idea that they were both in my pocket. And had Bosek never said anything
to me. That means this was meant to happen.
So anyway, my keys drop up here. He texts me, hey, do you need your key? I said, obviously not. I drove home already. I'll be fine. He goes, I'll give them to you Saturday on the bus.
Okay.
you know, we park at a certain location, right, and everybody parks at the same spot, and the buses wait for us to go get on the airplane. So, of course, I'm one of the last people there because it's just who I am. I show up, and I'm filling through my trunk. I'm sort of packing stuff in the back and trying to get everything situated to get on the road. And I hit the lock on my car, and then all of a sudden my horn starts going off. What the heck? So I'm thinking my car battery is dying. So I climb back in the car. I start the car up, and I go, all right, battery's fine, whatever.
Because that'd be a bad feeling to get back after the game. And,
right. And all of a sudden the car. So I get back out. I lock the car again, and the horn starts going off again. So I'm fiddling with my keys, and I'm going, what the heck is going on here? So by now I'm going, all right, I've got like 7 minutes to get on the bus. All
right.
I'm like, my car's, if the horn goes off, the battery's just going to die. I'll get somebody to jumpstart me when I get here. So I you know, I close the trunk and I lock it again, and the horn starts going, it's just beep, beep. And I'm like, what the? So I'm like, okay, I got to get on the bus because you know they are not waiting for you. If they say 145, if you're not on that bus at 145, at 146, you're buying your own ticket to go somewhere else. You're buying your own ticket to Dallas, which I didn't want to do. I get on the bus. Bosek and Austin,
are dying,
Jay Adams are crying laughing, as well as like a lot of the people that sponsor the Falcons and spend. They're all laughing, and I'm looking around, and Bosek's holding my keys.
So
he's just kind of jingling my
keys.
They're
watching you from the bus panic.
Oh, yeah, they're all laughing.
And loving it.
Loving every minute of it. So you two, I'm just here to tell you.
Something's coming.
When it's going to happen.
It's got to happen.
It's going to happen.
The get back.
It was amazing.
It was funny.
It was amazing. Bosek said it was amazing.
It was amazing. It was great.
Was it like stomach hurting, crying, laughing? Oh,
yeah. Could you guys see the panic on my face?
Yeah, because you could see you go like, what?
He was like, he's fed up. Like, what is going on?
It was funny.
Were
you starting to get mad?
No, I was getting worried. Like, what's wrong with my car? I don't get mad at much.
You didn't have a chance to really worry about it because you're like, I got to get this. I got to get on this bus.
Right.
But my car.
As a typical guy, instead of at home just packing everything like I'm supposed to, I've got like stuff in the backseat of my car. I've got stuff in the trunk, and I'm going, okay, I need my headphones, and I had to bring something for Squidbilly, who's the producer of the Falcons Radio Network, and I'm like, I got to remember this, and I can't forget my charger. You know, I'm a typical dude.
Because ain't no coming back.
Oh, no. Yeah. Once you're on that bus, you're on the bus. And I'm like, I don't want to spend like 30 more bucks on an Apple charger. And now my car's going bananas. So, yeah, these guys got me good.
Bosek, nice. Hitman, nice.
All right. So now,
Austin.
Yeah.
Austin.
Yeah,
your biggest problem was when Bosek handed me the
key. Yeah. Oh, no. So it's on you. Okay.
He said he'd take them to you. That's all.
Yeah, he took them to me, all right. Laughing at me. All right, it's time now to break with Bosek.
All right. First off, more of an on-topic question I wanted you guys to talk about or have a little fun with. Which Falcon game you think will be the first to get flexed? We're doing well, so I think we're in a position to possibly get flexed this season.
I got one. They play Carolina, I believe it's early December, and you're talking about two teams right now that are on a collision course to decide the division. So I think when they look down the road, and I think that'll be the first one, because typically this time of the year they leave the games. As you get further along in the season, they start going, all right.
Things start to matter like December. Yeah.
That's going to be a Sunday night game. I'm here to let you know the first game against Carolina is going to become a Sunday night game.
I like that one too. Like you mentioned, Carolina's on this course to be really good. Their defense is playing well, and they're playing well without Kuechly. I mean, obviously – we're not breaking down Carolina, but they're playing really well on defense. Norman has a couple of interceptions.
Yeah.
He played well last week. Obviously, they got the wow factor in Cam on offense. So, I agree with you. That'd be a huge game that I think the nation would be really, really intrigued about.
Yeah, that'll be one that the nation will finally actually give props to the NFC South because, you know what, these two teams are pretty darn good.
No doubt about it.
Sir. All right. Break with Bosek question. I was talking with Freddie Falcon yesterday. He was talking about his interview questions he asked to possible mascots of his. And he told me that one of the questions they asked, if you could be any cartoon character, who would you be?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know who I'd be. My favorite cartoon character is Brian the dog from Family Guy. It's something about him being quick-witted. You know, he's kind of a ladies' man. I mean, if I could be Brian the dog, he's way smarter than I am. It's kind of terrible that I say a cartoon dog is way smarter than I am. But Brian the dog he's my favorite character on that show. He's probably my favorite cartoon character of all time. And I actually consider this and tell you what kind of life I have. I've considered getting a couple cartoon characters tattooed on me before. I was going to get Beavis and Butthead on each leg when I was like 20 years old. Thankfully, I thought better than that. I can't even do it with this shit. I was going to do the cornholio.
Yeah, that's what I was
doing. But Brian the Dog's the other one. I may get Brian the Dog tattooed someday.
Yeah, this is great.
All right, I think, what about, this is going to go back a little bit. What about Captain Planet? He's going back right there. Yeah, Captain Planet can do it all, man.
He could.
He can do it all, man. He's our hero. Come on. It says it in the song. That's what comes to mind right now for me, Captain Planet. I don't know why Captain Planet. I like Captain Planet. I used to watch it all the time. Captain Planet was pretty cool, man.
I like Captain Planet.
Yeah, that works, right? You like that? That was surprising, Humbo. Yeah, it was.
Along those lines, we are what? We are 23 days away from Halloween. I'm a huge Halloween person.
Are you big on like haunted houses?
No. I got to go to a costume party, and I've already got it planned. You guys going to dress up for Halloween? Anybody?
Maybe.
Oh, come on. You 20-somethings don't know how to have fun.
I'll be down in Jacksonville.
Of course you will.
Watching my former squad whoop up on Hitman.
My
squad whoop up on Austin.
Gator fans are puffed. They've got their chest puffed out.
They should be. They're 5-0. And that's why it's going to be so special when we... That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Miami, Florida State, quickly.
8 o'clock this Sunday night, or Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you now, when we beat Florida State.
Woo! People, you heard that. Devontae, said
when. I'm looking at you. I will have the iced out Ibis next week.
Devontae, have you talked to Devontae this week about the?
No.
No?
What am I going to say? We haven't beat him in like a decade. It's nothing to
Bosek,
say.
Bosek, who was your cartoon character, sir?
Captain Planet's good. Probably Ninja Turtles.
All right, you can tell y'all four. You got to choose one. Donatello, Raphael, Leonardo,
Michelangelo.
Mm-hmm.
He's the orange guy, right?
Yeah. I don't know. My son can tell you all of them. Yeah. I have no idea.
Although, actually, I don't know if I'd want to live in a sewer.
That April O'Neil's pretty good looking, though.
Yeah, man, they fight crime and eat pizza all the time, man. Come on.
That's not a bad life.
Ninja Turtles.
No doubt.
I decided to go 80s costume this year.
Oh, yeah? You got your little 70s. So I thought you got your fro or something now.
No, me and all my friends, we're going to a costume party together. We're all dressing as the Cobra Kai from Karate Kid.
I love
that. We all have the
I love that.
So I got to get the 80s hair. I can't be Johnny, but I'm going to go as Bobby. Bobby was kind of the jerk.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't like the Cobra Kai guys. They were not good, man.
Yeah, so I figured we'll walk around a costume party.
Who's gonna be the sensei, though?
No, nobody's going to be the sensei. He was too angry.
Yeah.
Can't be him.
You know what one of my proudest costumes in colleges was? You guys know the show Legends of the Hidden Temple? It was in the 90s?
No.
You guys might be too old.
I'm
too
young. Wow.
I'm too young. You're not too old.
Crush, Bo. That's how you feel?
I'm too young. That's what I meant. Uh-huh. I'm too young. No. Well, I dressed up as a participant. It was a great costume.
Okay.
All right, video of the week?
Yeah, video of the week. Let's do that. Now you want to move on.
We're going to knock you out, Bo.
Called us old.
Golly.
Keep it moving. All right. Ooh, that's not what I meant to do. All
right. Love Pee Wee football.
So these kids are in the middle of a football game, and the PA system puts out the nay-nay.
Oh, yeah, get it.
So these kids are literally, the play's running.
Is the play going?
Yeah, he's about to score a touchdown.
Now, the defensive end did not set the edge.
He did a bad job of setting the edge. Well, he's still going, though.
He's still
going.
Look at that guy.
Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh. The song said, watch me.
Oh,
it was wrong for
that.
Isn't that fantastic?
My dude said.
They're all dancing. Nobody wants to play.
He said, who cares? It's first and goal.
Hold on. Look at your boy number 59.
Oh,
you gotta love an offensive lineman dance.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
Yeah.
Watch me whip.
What's your daddy?
Look at that leg. He got his spanky leg going and everything.
Oh, he was terrible setting the edge, though. He got blocked by a guy half his size. Shock. We have kids.
Awesome.
Do your kids do the whip and the nay-nay?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You ought to see my daughter. My daughter, she does it. And that head is like, huh. I'm like, girl, you're going to hurt your neck.
I'm going to tell you.
They all about it.
My son's elementary school.
Kane about it?
Kane is all. Apparently, that's something they allow them to do in school.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. My daughter said the same thing. They do it in, like, gym or something.
Yeah, like, that's some of their warm-up or whatever. He's always, Daddy, watch me. Unfortunately for him, he has my rhythm, so he's just completely offbeat.
My dude came.
But that's I love awesome. It, man. The whip and the nay-nay is fantastic. To see those kids go crazy. Yeah. But coach is probably gone. All right, if you're going to whip, next time set the edge. That's all we care about.
Whip and then set it. How about that?
All right. Setting the edge was this guy right here.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I told this you, guy. I'm going to allow you guys to get some wins. And then I'm going to come and snatch up victory by the end of the season.
We're finna change it to you can't pick Matt, Julio, or Devontae.
Because that's pretty much how it's gone right now. Devontae's got 3 wins in a row for us.
Right.
So is Devontae out? Is that going to be an official?
Devontae got to be out, right?
I think so.
He got to be out.
He's won 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
That's like Julio. He can win every week, too.
And then if we see it start to decline, maybe we could
pick. If Tevin starts to take some carries, maybe we'll open it back up for Devontae.
Before we do picks to click, I have to really laugh at Bose.
Come on now.
Because we told him, stick with your gut. Stay with him. He took him 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to stay with him. This
he
week.
He took him all three. The first 3 weeks he took Trufant.
Yeah, first, yeah.
And then the 1 week he doesn't take Trufant.
2 fumble recoveries and a touchdown.
Out. Right as it happened, I was like, oh my goodness.
Jay and I are on the field. We immediately come find Bosek. And he's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But I'll be honest, I think I would have won anyway.
Yeah. With Devontae. Yeah,
he another 3 touchdowns. So last week you had Roddy. Jay had Willie Moe, I had Devontae, and you had Leonard Hankerson.
And I talked with Jay, by the way, so I know his pick. So we don't have to give him Josh Harris or something.
That's who I was thinking about giving him, you know. So who goes first, Bo?
Does Jay get to go first because he's not here?
Basically,
no, he goes last.
Technically, it would be Jay. I mean, DJ,
yeah, it's DJ.
Right?
Okay.
You get to go
Jay,
first
then
this
Jay,
week.
Jay, then John, then me.
Yep, that's how we'll do it.
Or me, then John. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Who do I want this week? You know what? I'm usually an offensive guy.
Shocking that a quarterback would be an offensive guy.
Very shocking, I know. This week, I'm going to go back and I'm going to play – I'm going to go with Warlow.
All right. That's always a safe one. Paul.
You may pick somebody else. I'll pick somebody else.
No, you got Warlow.
Jay picked Warlow.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Well, Jay didn't get to go first. Too bad for him. You're not here to defend yourself.
No. I'll pick somebody else because Jay would be like, we took it from him. I'm going to take – should I stay on offense or defense?
Defense.
Go defense. Okay. I'm going to go defense, and I am going to take
– Trufant.
Nah. Hey, they're going to stay away from him this week. They're going to stay away. I'm going to go with Vic Beasley.
Okay. That's a good one.
Vic Beasley's going to get it. He's going to get another sack this week. All I need is 1 sack to win. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so we're going to allow Jay to have Paul Warlow then since he would pick second.
Yeah.
I was going to let Austin or Trevor go ahead and pick somebody for him, like Bryce Harris or, you know, it doesn't matter. Bosek, I'll let you go third. Go ahead. Take True. Take him.
No, I can't.
He can't do it. Like,
I would have had to take True last week. I can't. That would just be bad. Hank did pretty well last week.
Hank got you some points last week.
Hank didn't get me the win, but he got me some points. So I'm going to go with Hank again.
Okay.
I really don't like you right now.
that's who you're leaning to.
I was gonna pick him because it's you know it's that week. You know you guys had your rivalry against Florida and that's you'll pick a Georgia player then. I wanted to take a Miami player this week, but I'm not gonna tell you as much as I love Bosher and I think Bosher's a Pro Bowler right now. I can't take him because I'm trying to win and punters typically don't win picks to click. So I'm gonna Riverside Bosek.
Riverside.
I think they are gonna test Desmond Trufant this week. Ooh. And they're going to test them unsuccessfully. I'm going to take True this week.
Look at that.
I'm going to take Trufant. So there we go. Right. A lot of defensive players.
Like
we got Vic Beasley.
Yeah, baby.
We got Paul Warlow. We got Leonard Hankerson. And we've got
Desmond
Trufant.
Me and Vic share the same agent, so I got to make sure I holler
and
about that.
Hankerson's going to be mic'd up this week.
Oh, yeah?
He's talking trash already to the Redskins. He's ready to ball.
Oh, you know this. And that's a great pick because this is a team that he used to play for.
Yes.
Much like Brooks
so
Reed
last week. He knows some of the DBs over there, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure him and D'Angelo Hall get along really well.
Really
Because
well.
D. Hall is always so cordial and so nice to everybody
on the
field.
He's always good, man.
He's good
never,
guy.
I've never had any issues with D. Hall.
Nah, he's actually a good dude.
Yeah, he just
talks a lot of trash.
True.
All right, that's Falcons cast.
It's done.
You know, it's it. I'm going to win again.
Two-man crew, baby. I'm going for third win this
week,
baby.
We're the real two-live crew.
Two-live crew, baby.
There we go. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Boom! Oh!